I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am so excited for this hour. Anytime we can get Leavenworth County District Attorney Todd Thompson in studio, we are always so happy to have you. I know how busy you are. We're going to talk a little bit about volunteerism in the court system today, because I think people have this idea that, you know, our judicial system is something over there for other people who are attorneys or who have done something wrong. And there are all kinds of needs within our judicial system for good people to step up and volunteer. And so we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But Todd, I want to start out by talking about this crazy story that, Scott, you were not even in the room when this came up. But we have had lately across multiple jurisdictions a problem with jurors reaching out to defendants. Scott, wait.
Why are you smiling?
Because it's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
What we've had is, and it happened the first time, and I reached out to a bunch of my colleagues across the state to just ask them, have you heard of anything like this happening? And let me tell you what has happened. And now it's not happened just once in my district. It's happened twice, is where the defendant, after trial, will try to reach out to one of the jurors to have a conversation with them.
After the trial.
The defendant, while incarcerated, while still in the county jail.
About what?
We have never gotten or allowed it to happen. The first time that it happened, that we became made aware of it, they had made two collect calls. And if you've ever received a
collect call. Explain it, Todd. A lot of people don't understand. I've had it happen. If you get a collect call from jail, you know it and why.
They have a little announcement on the call. You're receiving a phone call from the Leavenworth County Jail or whatever jail it is. This is a phone call that's being recorded. Or, you know, usually it's a collect call, but they say,
will you accept the charges?
And they'll be like, and the call is from, and it'll be like, Mike Smith. And right. Then, you know. And then
what does it sound like?
Like
Mike Smith,
you know, something like that. And then the person hears the call and they're like, you know, they decide whether they want to talk to the other party. Well, the person that received the call got two in the same day. The first one that we had
freaked out,
hung up both times, blocked the call, got rid of the phone, did, you know, like, and called us immediately to let us know what happened. And, you know, we researched it. Now, after a jury trial, the jury, you know, we can't talk to the jury beforehand. We can't influence the jury. No one can. They're not to be. And you've heard probably sequestered, where they actually sometimes even get, you know, put in a hotel room or something. Sure. So no one can influence them. So that's the rule. But after it's done, oftentimes attorneys, even our judge likes to meet with the jury after the case and have a conversation with them about, like, what did you think? And we do the same thing. Like, what could have we done stronger?
Yeah.
What was, you know, so both sides.
You guys do that?
Would you like to go to dinner?
No. We don't.
What can I do to influence you to give me a favorable verdict in the future?
Right. Well, we have a rule. We don't reach out to them, but if they want to talk to us, they do.
Sure.
Sometimes if someone on the juror happens to know that juror, you know, we'll be like, you know, if it's a cousin or something, like, hey, you were just on this jury. Do you mind talking?
Right.
You know, I mean, just.
It's a small county. I mean, eventually somebody's going to know somebody.
But every juror does. It's very respectful. I mean, I get stopped at you know, events and things from jurors who say, hey, I was on this case. And then I get to ask, I said, you mind if I ask you a few questions about, like, what happened? Or they want to tell me what
happened.
Absolutely. You know, I had an escape from a Lansing correctional case once, and the lady told me it was like, the facts were so straightforward, we didn't understand why they went to trial, and I explained everybody has a right to trial.
Yeah.
So we get to do those things. But this, we've never had. A defendant literally calling, but we never got to the bottom of it. The only thing, so when I called one of my other county's counterparts, they said they had the exact same thing happen. The person actually had a conversation, and it was the guy soliciting a date from the woman.
The convicted party, Scott, reached out to a juror and was like, hey, you.
Is it against the law for a convict to reach out to a juror?
I have not seen any law that says it's highly inappropriate.
Well, and it might be creepy.
Well, it might be inappropriate, but I don't think it's against the law.
It's definitely no. Because you have a right to communicate with people, but I mean it's within limits, and we don't know what the conversation was. It wasn't a threat. It wasn't telephone harassment, which is also a crime. You know, you can't. There was only ever two calls. This just obviously scared the person so much that...
Is it something, Todd, that you need to start having these conversations with defense attorneys? And we have several friends who are criminal defense attorneys where, like, maybe you put out a blast email to all of the known criminal defense attorneys and say, hey, you might just want to pass along to your clients from this point forward that it's not a great idea to reach out to a juror for romantic purposes once you are convicted.
Was it romantic?
The only person that was called by this person
was a woman.
Was a young female. And it was a youngish male. So that, and when I talked to another county who had something similar, that was a solicit. Yeah. They asked that person for a date. So the case got acquitted in the other county and they asked for a date on that. So our process of elimination was this must have been the person.
Right.
Wanting to do that. And I think later they said, I just wanted to thank them for, you know, being fair on the case.
Yeah, he's like, I want a date with juror number eight.
We thoroughly investigated. I mean, and to your point, Dana, we talked to all the defense attorneys. We made a big, you know, because it is very secretive, you know, and you can't just turn over all the witness sheet, all the juror sheets or anything like that. But when the defendant who has a right to be in front of the jury while they're being selected, the name gets written out. I mean, the name gets said on the record, you know, like, you know, Scott Parks, you're on jury duty. Scott Parks, come sit.
So a juror's identity is not confidential? I mean,
no.
Obviously, the defendant can see the juror, but are their names not confidential?
Well, the defense attorney gets to have a sheet of all the jurors, gets to have the same sheet the prosecution has.
When they're deciding who to strike, you know.
It's an equal, fair process. They have the sheets, they have the names, and oftentimes, just like us, when we get those sheets, we go through and we're like, oh, okay. I mean, I've had my aunt on my jury panel. You know, I mean, we go through and...
Did you strike her?
No, but they definitely asked some questions in my aunt about like my past. And I was like, I don't think that qualifies about like
strike.
Yes.
We're striking juror number nine.
She's like,
do you remember that time he wet the bed at AJ?
Strike.
Objection.
Yes.
Overruled.
But you also don't want people to be, you know, it's hard enough to get people to understand how important it is to serve and do their duty on a jury if they're not over the age of 70 and retired. You also don't want this to have some freezing effect on young women who are called to serve.
And that's what the process that we're looking into now is what can we do? Because the defense has obviously a right to have every juror and all the information that we have, but we talked to the defense attorney. He did not give over the names. He did not give over the sheets, but it's just something that the defense attorney gets to write down notes, take notes of helps out. They get to help out in the entirety of the trial. So even who they're selecting and where the strikes go, so they can write down a name. They can take their notes back downstairs and then they can call a friend, family member and say, hey, have you seen, you know, a Dana Wright, you know,
on Facebook,
can you see if you can track her down and find her phone number? I want to thank her is usually what they say is what we've seen.
But Todd, do you think that the names of jurors should be anonymous?
Yeah, I don't think they, I, well,
what's the point in knowing their name?
The only point is if the defendant or the defense attorney, someone knows them, that there's a bias. Does that make sense?
I agree.
Like if my aunt got up there, I could say that is my aunt, you know, that's what her name, you know, and they can make a process. If you don't know that person's name, it would be unfair for me if the defendant.
But her name would not, maybe not be Thompson.
Right. Well, yes, you're right. You're right. And so.
But Scott, the problem is there are people that have unusual names. So like Scott Parks, not you, but a Scott Parks would maybe be a little bit more difficult to track down than someone with a last name Krzyzewski.
No, I agree. But what I'm saying is, shouldn't a juror's name be anonymous? Even when you're doing, is it voir dire or whatever
not
it's called?
Not for the attorneys, because you want to know what is in their background that...
Well, and a defendant has every right to, I mean, and if a defendant goes pro se, they get a right to vet,
ask.
Yeah, and vet the jury. Now, our jury process, we use a numbering system for the record purposes, but they still get a right to, you know, vet their jury and make a determination.
Let's say it's a drunk driving case, okay?
Sure.
And one of the jurors in question has a husband who was killed by a drunk driver. That's why, Scott, this has to be transparent.
I see what you're saying.
It's a slippery slope. I mean, again, I've been doing this for 20 some years, and this year is the first year I've ever seen it happen, even to have to.
But other counties are saying it's happening.
Yes. And I mean, then so far, everybody that I've talked to all said it was done in the same. They were shooting their shot, so to speak. You know,
what does that mean?
They're trying to get a date.
Like Travis and Taylor. Yeah.
Nothing says, I'm so hot for you. Like I just got a call from jail.
Right.
I'll see you
in 6 to 10.
Yeah. And I don't want to make light of it because I know the people on the other side are scared. And they're scared for, you know, obvious reasons. And we inform them of people that should be scared. They're probably the last ones on the list of juries that would be cared.
And then why allow them to make the call?
Well, the one they were able to stop, but when, I mean, people in jail get a right to a phone call. They have, you know, they get a right.
But Scott,
do you have the right to call a juror?
No, you tell your buddy on the outside, hey, juror number 8, you know, I thought I was making eyes at her and I think she voted to acquit or whatever. Can you look her up on Facebook? And now all of a sudden you've got her number.
And they have certain liberties, but I mean, they definitely, like, at some point they can narrow down who the person within the facility can start calling.
Leavenworth County DA Todd Thompson joining us in studio. If you have a question, you can text it in at 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.